Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, I know you're used to a sermon bumper, but we don't have one today, so I'm going to have to be the sermon bumper. How's everybody doing this morning? It's great to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. We're just so thankful that you are in service with us. How many of you are ready for the fall semester of life groups? Come on, anybody here had your life changed and transformed by a life group? And so in just a few weeks, we're going to be having Life Group Sunday, but wanted to let you know that for anyone that is interested in facilitating a life group, we're going to have Life Group Facilitator training right after service this morning, next door to the room that's labeled for Growth Track. If you need help getting there, just ask any of our dream team that's out there, and they will direct you to the right room. It's going to be real short, probably 20, 25 minutes, just give you the tools that you need. How many of you can hit play on a DVD player? Anybody here hit play? Yeah, how many of you? Yeah, some of you can't. Well, all right, maybe we need to do training on that, add that to our training. All right, listen, we make facilitating a life group so easy. If you can hit play on a DVD player, you can facilitate a life group. And so if you're interested in that, we want to encourage you to come and attend this. To everybody say, at the movies. At the movies. 2 weeks from today, we start at the movies. I know some of you are really excited about that. It's one of the favorite series that we have here, and so as you leave the building, leave the auditorium here this morning, you're going to get an envelope that looks just like this with a stamp on it. We already paid for the postage. Inside is a postcard that looks just like this with at the movies on it. You can write a note to someone on the back, and so all we want you to do is fill this out, drop it in the mail, send it to someone. Everybody loves getting something personally handwritten in the mail, and so I encourage you to do that. We've got movie tickets also available, so be thinking right now. Start thinking who you're going to invite, and so I encourage you to take part in that with us. Now, I know some of you have friends that have already been to the Lifeway Church, and so if they've been to the Lifeway and if they've filled out a Connect card, we're already sending them a mailer, so don't send it to them. Send it to somebody new, all right? All right, and so if you could help us with that, that is going to be amazing. Well, I wanted to give you real quick a 7515 building project update. How many of you are excited about what God is doing with the building? And so our goal is meant to raise $150,000. That's going to help us. And so I'm excited to let you know. I don't know if you got my email this week, but we've already raised over 50% in pledges for that amount. So give yourselves a great big round of applause. But in your service guide is a pledge card that looks just like this. If you haven't prayed about how God wants you to contribute to this, I'd love for you to do that for me today. Before you leave, take a moment, pray with your spouse if your spouse is here, and then drop that in the green giving kiosk for me. The reason this is so important is we're working with two different lenders, and they're trying to get a good picture of where we're at in our financial situation. And so I know many of you have it in your heart to give, but last week a lot of people were out on vacation. And so if you are planning on participating, please fill that out, drop it in the mail, or drop it in the giving kiosk, not the mail, in the giving kiosk for me today, and that would really be a great help. I know that we've had some people ask about, well, how do I give to the building project? And so anybody here, how many of you give here via the website? So like, by an internet browser, let me see your hands. All right, so there's a handful of you that do it that way. All right, when you go on to the giving site, there is now a new choice. When you click the drop-down arrow, it defaults to tithe and offering. There's one that says building pledge, and so that's how you're to give there. All right, how many of you text to give? I know we got a lot of text to givers. Yeah, most of us here are text to givers. For you guys, just go to the regular Lifeway text to give number, and all you're going to do is type the word building and then whatever your pledge is. So like if you praise the Lord, I'm speaking faith, building 100,000, right? And that's going to, yeah, amen. Jay said, I got that, right? All right, so yeah, whatever your number is, and that will earmark that for that purpose. And then for those of you that prefer to give here at the church, right now we're just going to ask that you use our standard Lifeway building envelopes, which do not have a designation mark on them. I just want you to mark on the flap building pledge, and then when the counting team gets that, they'll mark it appropriately. Once we rebrand with 414 Church, which many of you have heard about, we'll be redoing our envelopes, and they'll have that designation there available. But I know some of you were asking how to do that, and so technically our giving window is September, starts in September. So at any point in the month of September, you can make your pledge and just do that monthly for those of you that did that accordingly. All right, everybody say amen. All right. Well, today we have a very, very special treat. We are really blessed to have Pastor Jason and Pastor Heidi Warman with us all the way from Venice, Florida. And they are an amazing, amazing couple. They have an amazing church. They were friends to Shyla and I when we didn't have many. And over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've reached out and called Pastor Jason for help, just kind of walking through some of the things that we've had to walk through, and he always has. I love him. I know he's actually just a year younger than I am, but you just have a fatherly voice, and I just appreciate that so much, and I just mean that in a sincere form of a compliment there, but just he just always has a unique way of looking at things, and we are blessed as a church to have Pastor Jason and Pastor Heidi as our overseers, and so they started Coast Life Church about 10 years ago, and since then, they have built this amazing church that literally reaches hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people every single weekend, and it's just really a great honor to have them. So why don't you stand to your feet and give Pastor Jason a big welcome, and just and welcome him to Milwaukee. We're so glad to have you.
Hey, Lifeway Church, how we doing this morning? Hey, could we give Jesus a better hand than that? Come on, let's give Jesus a great hand in the room this morning. Amen. It's so good to see you. You can be seated. How many of you know that Jesus is alive? And because Jesus is alive, his church is alive. Or it should be alive. Amen, somebody. You love the presence of God that you feel in the room today. I know I do, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be with you guys, and it's just great to have my lovely wife Heidi with me. Would you guys give Heidi a great hand? Love you, babe. So glad that she's here. And it's been incredible. We've gotten to, I know I don't know you, and you don't know me. Hi, I'm Jason. It's good to meet you. I'm the king of awkward conversations, so we're good. We've gotten to be a part of this journey with you guys, first time to be here, but it's just, we count it an honor to get to stand alongside your pastors as they do what Jesus said to do, and that's build the church. That's what Jesus said to do. He said, I'll build my church, and it's very interesting to me how one of the ways that God loves people, and this is how I know God loves you, is when God loves a group of people, he sends along true shepherds, people that love the church, love the people of the church, and I just want you guys to know that you're blessed with some of the best, because God sent you guys true shepherds for your church and your flock, and Pastor Andrew and Shyla, we love them so much, and It's an honor to be with you today. Anybody ready for a word from the Bible? Is it all right? I have other magazines and stuff, but I thought maybe the Bible would be the best place to go in church today. And I want to just speak a message into your hearts and into your church today. And I want to preach a message today called God's Still Looking for Leaders. God is still looking for leaders. And I'm hesitant to use a title like that because I understand some of the dynamics that are at play when you hear something like that. And there's a word in there, and it's the word leaders. And when you hear the word leaders, the tendency is for the majority of an audience to disqualify themselves from the message. Like I'm no leader. I'm not smart and talented and an incredible leader like you, Jason. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You're so funny and talented and handsome. Well, thank you. I mean, I want to come back to the Lifeway. You guys are so kind. But the tendency is for us to disqualify ourselves because of a word like leader. And what I would say back to that is, first of all, according to the New Testament, regardless of who you are, that you are a royal priesthood to God, that you're both king and priest, and you have a leadership role, if nothing else, leading your life, leading your family, leading yourself, leading the church, leading the charge to go to God to see what God has for our lives. And all of us have some type of leadership role on our lives, and if nothing else, just leading ourselves, because how many of you know there's no other person that's going to go to God for you? You get the privilege and the opportunity to go to God for yourself. That you get to go to God and represent yourself before Him and all that He has for you. But I want to preach a message today from the life of a man who is in the Old Testament, and his name is Gideon. And Gideon comes to us during the season of, and the portion of your Bible known as the Judges. And the Judges were both men and women. Come on, let me hear a shout out from all the ladies. They were both men and women. That's the biggest response I'll get all day. They were both men and women who influenced Israel to serve God. And what's remarkable about each of these individuals is none of them were a priest. None of them were a prophet. None of them held the position of king. In other words, they didn't fit the typical roles of leadership that we would ascribe to the Old Testament. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, the majority of the time that there was somebody stepping into leadership, they would be a prophet and they would prophesy a word from God. Or they would be a priest who had come from the tribe of Levi. They were anointed. The priest wore cool garments and clothes. I sort of wish we could go back to the Old Testament sometimes. I would like to have some of the robes that they wore. Or it would be a king. God would use a king like David or Solomon to do something great for His people. But when you enter it, what I love about this season is when you enter this season, it's a tumultuous time in Israel. And it's a weird, odd culture that tends to stray from God. And how many of you know that we're in an interesting season in our world today? Like when I look at biblical times, I see in Judges what I see in our culture today. And what was interesting is each of these individuals did not have a title, but yet they stepped into leadership. And how many of you know you don't need a title to be a leader? In fact, I would submit if you need a title to be a leader, you're probably not a leader. And it wasn't the classic people that we would look to that would be an influencer in Israel. It was different people. And they were leaders. The judges were leaders. In fact, they didn't even know what to call them, so they just landed on judges. And we think of somebody that sits in a courtroom. None of them sit in a courtroom. It was just a title they grabbed somewhere just to add a description to these people, because there was no leadership position for them. And they were leaders without title or position. And the Bible says this, getting into Judges 2 and 7, and this is from the Message version. It's a paraphrase version of the Bible, which means it's not true at all. But I'm going to read it anyway. The Bible says this: the people worshiped God throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Joshua was one of the anointed leaders of Israel. And so people worshiped God throughout Joshua's lifetime. And then they worship God throughout the time of the leaders who survived Joshua, leaders who had been in on all of God's great work that He had done for Israel. And so I want to just clarify this. When there was a leader named Joshua who was seeing God do miracles, people followed God. When Joshua died, there were still leaders who had been with Joshua who had seen God do great things. And because there were still leaders who had seen God perform miracles, who had seen God do tremendous things, who had seen God bless Israel, work in mighty ways. Those people were still influenced by those leaders, and they followed God. And when there came a generation of people who were no longer seeing God do miracles, that's when people no longer worshiped God. That when there was a generation of people who were no longer seeing God do great things, people quit serving God. Here's what I want you to understand, is God is looking for people who want to see him do great things. God's looking for people who want to see him do something great. Because God is still looking for leaders. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman who will simply begin to believe him to do something great. Because when there were people who were seeing God do miracles, it influenced the nation to want to serve a God that could perform like that. That when there were people who were stepping into the potential and the fullness of what is available to us in God's plans and in God's purpose, and I would submit to you, in God's church, what God is able to do. When there were people that were stepping into those moments and seeing God do great things, then everybody else was influenced by the move of God that was happening, and so people would follow the Lord. And I just want to submit this definition of leadership to you, is what if leadership isn't what we do? What if it's what God does, but we just have the faith to believe him for it? Like, what if that's the biblical model of leadership, is it's men and it's women who just simply have the faith to believe and to trust God to do the great things, and it's not us who are special or talented or anointed, and it's not us that do anything great, but how many of you in this room know that we serve a great God who does amazing things with ordinary, run-of-the-mill, doesn't have to be special, none of us are qualified, but that's the incredible thing about our God, is we aren't the qualification, he's the qualification, and when we step into a moment of faith, God is able to do great and mighty things in our lives. And I think sometimes we look at our position in communities or in society or in culture, and we think, man, we have a great opportunity to see God do something amazing. And I would submit back to you, we don't have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to be a church that sees God do great and mighty things, because we can't leave a community that doesn't have the ability to see a church that's experiencing the power of God. It's not an opportunity, it's a responsibility, because we can't leave a generation behind us who doesn't see God do great things. It's you and I that have the responsibility to step into the place. Doesn't matter if we've got a title, doesn't matter if we're called to a certain position, it just matters that we're here now and we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you could ask, think, or imagine. And it's not just an opportunity, it's a mandate of every church to see God do the miraculous in our communities, because there are people that need to be influenced by the goodness of our God, and that's leadership. It's not what we do, it's what God does. And because, I want you to think about this, because there was no one seeing God do great things, the people drifted away. I wonder how many people who are hungry for God and they just don't know how good he is because they haven't seen a display of it yet. And so God was in the season, was looking for leaders. And I feel God's presence in this place. Lifeway, can we just make sure that there's not a generation in Milwaukee who doesn't see God do amazing things in his church and in his people? And so it was during this time that God is going to come looking for Gideon. He's gonna come to try to find him, because he's looking for someone who will believe him to do great things. And the problem is Israel is away from the blessing of God. And they're being overrun by a group of people known as the Midianites. And it's not that It's not that God has withdrawn his blessing. That's not how grace works. It's that Israel has walked away from the blessing. I think sometimes we put it on God that he takes off the blessing of God off of us. God doesn't do that. We just simply walk away from the blessings of God sometimes. And Israel has walked away. And they're in this season, the Bible says, when they would work and they would tend to their crops and they would raise their flocks. And when it would come time to harvest, the Midianites would come in like locusts, the Bible says, both men and camels. And I don't know which is worse, the men or the camels. Like, have you ever seen camels? Those are freaky animals. Like, just overnight, the swarm would descend on their neighborhoods. Can you imagine just waking up one morning, you're trying to back out of your driveway, and there's just camels everywhere, and you're like, it's the camels, man, it's the camels. Like, get the camels out of the way. There's just camels everywhere. And they would work. And when they would get ready to harvest, the harvest wouldn't be there. It's what happens when you're living life at a deficit. You know how you're living life at a deficit? It's when you get birthday money and you use it to pay bills. That's how you know you're living life at a deficit. Anybody ever? If you're not at a deficit, somebody gives you birthday money, you can go buy yourself a gift or you can go out to a nice dinner. But when you've got a deficit in your life, I want you to notice this. When you have a deficit in your life, even when something good comes, it gets consumed. And there's people in our world, in our culture, maybe even we identify with this in our lives, is that every time we get some peace, there's something in our lives that we're at such an emotional deficit that even when a moment of peace comes, that deficit devours the peace. And we get a little joy, and joy is devoured. Or we get a little blessing from God, but we're at such a deficit in our lives that it's consumed because they're just at this emotional deficit. And people, we live in emotional deficits where we're so hungry for something that, and we're so void of something that one compliment, one attaboy, one attagirl is just so insufficient to fill us up because of this deficit that's in our life. It's just consuming. And the world sometimes feels so big and we feel so small that we're at such a deficit that we can't see how it is that God could do anything in us. And I want to pause and I want to speak to your church. And that is, at some point, you've got to resolve in your mind that you're just simply not going to live at a deficit because you may be small and the world may be big. But I want to tell you, you serve a God that's bigger than the world. That you may have a lack, but our God doesn't have a lack. But they're in this place where it just seems like there's never enough because there's always more problems, there's more addiction, there's more struggles, and there's that's the reality of our world. As we get into addiction and we feel small and the addiction feels stronger than us, and every day we start at a deficit. Because how many of you know that there is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Like, if you get it, he wants to steal it. If it starts to get life, it starts to breathe a little bit, he wants to kill it. If you start to build it, if you start to get it going, there is an adversary that wants to destroy the things that we're building that belong to God. And this nation is tired of living this way. And they're calling out to God. And God appears to Gideon. But the problem is Gideon is in an isolated place and he's alone and he doesn't realize something. And that is, God has a plan for his life that involves other people. That there is something that God wants to do through Gideon that is going to affect multiple people. In fact, it's going to affect many people. And when we're living life at a deficit, I want to show you what happens is we become internally focused. We begin to get focused on ourselves and we lose the big picture that my life matters for more than just who I am and what I'm about. And we begin to get just self-absorbed into ourselves and we forget about something else. And that is, there's a whole bunch of people, and Gideon is is facing an emotional battle in his life, and we're going to see it in the Word of God in just a moment. He's facing an emotional battle, and he feels like it's only him, and it's all about him. But what he doesn't realize is that God is looking at him, and God is looking for a leader because he wants to find somebody that he can put on display to show that if I can do it in Gideon's life, I can do it in somebody else's life. And what you need to realize is God is looking for someone. He's looking for someone. He's trying to find somebody. But the problem is we don't know the person. We don't know that we're the one that God is looking for because we think it's just about us. But I want to tell you that your emotional struggle, your financial struggle, your marriage struggle, and the struggles that you're going through in this life, they are not just about you, and you are not fighting a lonely battle. You're fighting a purpose-filled battle. And it's not a battle just about your life. It's a battle about more than that, because God is looking for somebody to be a display of his grace, and other people's freedom is dependent upon your freedom, because they don't know it's possible until they see God do it in your life. And the moment they see your marriage healed, the moment they see you blessed, the moment that they see you stepping into the purposes of God, the moment they see you stepping into the calling of God, here's the amazing thing. They think, if they can do it and God can do it in them, then God can surely do it in me, because somebody else's freedom is dependent upon your freedom, because God is looking for somebody to be a display of his grace to encourage other people that who you are matters. And I want to tell you, you matter to this church, you matter to your family, you matter to the society you live in, you matter to the people that you work on. What's happening in your life matters, and don't buy into the lie of the enemy that it's just about you and you're by yourself and it doesn't matter whether or not you accomplish and you overcome. I want to tell you, God wants to use you to make you a leader, an influencer that says, if I can do it in their life, I can do it in the life of anybody. I can bless, I can restore, I can heal, I can do some amazing things. It's not about us. It's about the God that we serve. And today, you're not fighting a lonely battle. That's the lie of the enemy, to make you think that it's just about you and the world's so big and you're so small and it doesn't matter and no one notices. Man, that's just the lie of the enemy. I want you to hear me. You matter. There's people in this church that notice when you're not here. There's people in this church who notice when you're struggling. There's people in your world that feel it when you're hurting. And you may not see yourself as a leader, but I want to tell you, every person in this room, how you're living your life is influencing the people around you. And it's why people quit. It's why people go into depression, because they don't matter. They think they don't matter. And it's a lie from the enemy. God is looking for somebody who will just simply be a display of his grace. And when our lives display the grace of God, it makes other people want to serve Jesus. Yes. So God is looking for Gideon. Everybody with me so far? Yes. He's looking for a leader. So Judges 6, 11 through 16, and I'll do this quickly. I know I've already been here for a minute, but I'm just now getting to my text. But we're going to run through this quickly. Judges 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. I practiced that in the mirror all week this week. Abiezrite. While his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are the miracles? Where's the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?'" I want to pause. This isn't in my message. But first of all, that's a great heart that Gideon has. Where are the miracles? Well, guess what? God shows up to Gideon because he's asking Gideon that question. Yeah. Who's going to be the miracle? Who's going to step into this moment? Where are the miracles? "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my family, my clan, is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. I'm going to be with you. And God was looking for some people who would believe him to do great things. God was looking for some people who would simply be a display of his grace that would show others and inspire others to believe that God was able to do great and mighty things. But the problem is the person that he's looking for is hiding. And Gideon's hiding from the Midianites. And he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And you would thresh wheat up on a hill and you would trample out grapes in the lower place. And he's in a place of hiding because the wine press represents hiding and the threshing floor represents vulnerability. And you can't do anything great for God in the place of hiding. At some point, you have to step out and become vulnerable. At some point, you've got to step out and be seen. And we could sort of be rough on Gideon about hiding. Put your little light under a basket. No, Gideon, don't do that. Let it shine, let it shine. He's hiding. And we could condemn him for that. But how many of you in this room know that we tend to hide ourselves? That we tend to take the place of hiding. And the truth is that most of us live in a wine press because we hide when we feel like we can't be ourselves. When we simply just can't be and accept who God created us to be. We live in a wine press when we're afraid of being seen, afraid of being noticed. And we hide when we feel like we have to put up walls because we're afraid others will notice what's wrong with us. That people will see our vulnerabilities. And you've been in the wine press. If you've ever decided to go after a job, but you didn't go after the job because you'd already convinced yourself that they would not accept you before you even submitted the resume. You've been in the wine press. You've been in the wine press if you wanted to speak up and say something, but insecurity and anxiety told you to shut up before you could say what it is that you felt prompted to say. Like you've been in the wine press if you've ever wanted to step into something and you disqualified yourself before you ever stepped into it. Like, I could never be that. I could never do that. No one would ever accept me. I love to write. I wrote a book. Evidently, only three or four people know that. But I did. And I love to write. And can I tell you that more than one time, I struggle with social anxiety. I struggle with insecurity. It's been a lifelong battle for my life. And more than one time, I've written something that I felt was prompted by God. That I felt moved in my spirit to write, and I deleted it before I submitted it because I was hiding because of the insecurity that was on my life. And some of us in this room, we're afraid to even post a picture on social media because we're so hidden, we can't even let an image of ourselves be seen. Some of you post way too much on social media, but that's a different message. It's a different sermon. Maybe Pastor Andrew will let me come back and I'll. There's some of you in this room, you have the ability to sing or play an instrument, but you're hiding. There's some in this room, next weekend is baptism weekend, and you know it's your next step, but you're hiding. And there's some in this room, you're saying, Jason, that's not me. I say what needs to be said. I always do what needs to be done. I put myself out there, and I'd say, that's great. You're hiding behind your pride. And the strength you're showing is just a cover for the vulnerability that you feel on the inside. Because I'll keep going until every one of us are in that wine press, because I want to tell you, every one of us has been in that wine press. We've hidden. We've hidden from who God wants us to be. we've not stepped into the thing that God wants us to step into. And here's the message. I want it to be a message for Lifeway. I want it to be a message for you. God doesn't want anybody to hide. He doesn't want anybody to hide. And his grace is that he doesn't leave Gideon in the wine press. He comes to speak to him one more time. He comes to give a word to Gideon. Because the wine press really represents this. It represents when there's a discrepancy between who we are and who God called us to be. When we're living beneath the person and the place that God has for us. And I think it's one of the greatest lies the enemy perpetuates on the church is to convince people that they can't do something before they even try to do it. Because even the devil knows that it's not about you, it's about the God that you serve. That it's not about us. Gideon is hiding because he doesn't want to be seen. And God finds him. And sometimes I believe that we're hiding because the voices in our mind are telling us that we simply don't measure up to what God has for us. That we don't measure up to the thing that God wants us to be and do. And so God calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. And I want you to notice this. He says, Gideon is alone in a wine press. And he says, and he's hiding from the Midianites. And he says, you're a mighty man of valor. And the word valor doesn't just mean courageous. It means a courageous leader of armies. Which means we have to ask ourselves, is God being sarcastic at this point? Is this like when your wife tells you, well, aren't you being so special? And in that moment, you're not being so special. It's like, is God being sarcastic at this point? Because Gideon is alone, hiding in fear, and no one around him. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. Can I just tell you, that's not sarcasm. That's the voice of God that isn't speaking to his past, and it's not speaking to his present. It's speaking to his potential, and it's speaking to the call of God on his life. And every one of us, listen, there's three dominant voices in your life. There's three dominant voices. Write this down. It'll make me feel important. Number one is there's your voice, the voice that you speak with. And your voice, by the way, is powerful because the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So could we just make a commitment in this room to be life-giving, faith-filled people who speak words that build up and don't tear down in Jesus' name? There's your voice. The second thing is there's the voice in your mind. That all of us have an internal voice. And some of you in this room today are living with an inner critic. That every time you say something, there's criticism. That every time you go to speak something, in the inner voice in your mind is just completely antagonistic. And you're struggling with the voices in your mind. And I'm going to show you this in Gideon in just a moment. But you're struggling. And that's the second voice, is it's the voice in your mind. Is how healthy is the voice of your mind? And how good is the voice in your mind? Because there's a third voice that's important. You ready for this? It's the voice of God. And God is speaking to Gideon because Gideon's inner voice is telling him that he's the weakest in his clan. That he's not able to do anything. He's frustrated. The voice in his mind is even questioning whether or not God did those miracles and if God can do those miracles today. The voice of Gideon is becoming critical. It's filled with self-doubt. And then the voice of God comes in. And can I tell you, the voice of God in that conversation sounds so weird because it's so different than the voice that we're hearing. And I believe sometimes we hear the word of God over our lives and we disqualify ourselves because the word of God sounds like pie in the sky. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds like fluff, and you're just trying to hype me. And I just want to tell you this, that the voice of God has to become so real in your life because you're never going to be free to step out of the wine press and go to the place that God has for you until the voice of your God does something and it begins to replace the voice in your mind. Because freedom is when the voice of your mind becomes an echo of the voice of God in your life. And what you're saying to yourself isn't the lies that the enemy has told you, and it's not the lies that you heard from your family, and
it's not the lies that the teacher spoke over you, and it's not the lies of the person who was a bully and said that you were dumb or you were stupid or you were unqualified or all of the things that you've even conjured in your mind. Freedom is when the voice of your mind says, I'm going to take every thought and I'm going to submit it captive to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tear down every mental stronghold in my life until what I say in my mind aligns with what God has said in His Word. And that's the place of freedom, to step out in the vulnerability to say, it doesn't matter who I am, I'm just going to believe and trust that I am who God says I am. I can be what God says I can be, and I can do what God says I can do. That's freedom in your life. It's freedom. And it's interesting, and I'm going to close with this. Gideon even pushes back against the voice of God. Thankfully, none of us in this room have ever done that. My family's the weakest in our tribe, and I'm the weakest in my family. And the secret is in this fact. It's funny, God doesn't even refute all of that. He's like, yeah, you're pretty weak. But I'm with you. And here's the difference. And this is where I want to, this message could go into getting healthy self-talk, making sure that the thoughts in your mind are getting deconstructed and getting replaced with the Word of God. We could get into self-help. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Make some positive confessions over your life. You can do it. And God says, no, 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 no. That's not what I want you to understand. The understanding isn't that you're great. The understanding is that I'm great. Because there's a big difference between self-confidence and God-confidence. Anything that begins with self ends with destruction. But anything that begins with God ends in greatness. It ends in God doing amazing things, incredible things. God says, I don't want you to have self-confidence. I want you to have God-confidence. And freedom in your life is found in not finding confidence in you. It's finding faith in the Word of God. Gideon just begins to lay out all of the family issues, all of the family stuff. Lay out what's wrong with his family. You ever go to the doctor and they have you fill out that family medical history? And you start thinking about the people in your life and you're like, okay, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, heart problems. And you just start feeling like you may not make it out of the doctor's office. Like, can we get an IV started like right now? I need some help. Like, good Lord, I'm not going to make it. Doesn't it feel a little bit like what they're saying is that your family medical history is a prophecy of what's in your future? And I just take it back and I just say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I give them, no, I'm just kidding. We need doctors. They're trying to help you. Fill out the form. But we step into moments where God's looking for somebody. Can I tell you, God's looking for a church in Wisconsin. He's looking for a church. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. And we start going over our history. Divorce, bankruptcy, depression, anxiety, underachieving, poverty. We start going through the family history of everything that's wrong with our lives, and all of the failures and all of the problems. And God comes and his voice sounds so weird. Like it sounds weird. God's looking for a church in Milwaukee. Yeah, right. God's looking for a man, a woman. He wants to do great things. Yeah, right. It only sounds weird because of the way you're talking to yourself. And we start having these history moments that begin to feel like prophecies. But in that moment, I wish we could just go back and here's what I hear God saying to Gideon. You ready for this? Yeah, that's your family history. He didn't deny your family may not be the biggest tribe in Israel, and your family may not be the most influential, and it may not be the best, most qualified by man's terms. But guess what? I'm not just a God. I'm a father. And in this moment, I am taking you. And in this moment, I am redeeming you. And in this moment, I'm becoming more than a God to you. I'm becoming a father. And in this moment, I'm adopting you and I'm redeeming you and I'm adopting you into a different family. And now that used to be your family, but now let me tell you something. You're a part of a different family, and your God is your father is your God, and your brothers and your sisters are men and women who did marvelous things, because you are no longer a part of that family. You are a part of the family of God, which means you come from a long line of giant slayers. You come from a long line of men who shut the mouths of lions. You come from a long generation of those who stood in the midst of the flames and they were not burned. You come from a generation of men and women who looked at mountains and said, mountain, you may be in my way, but you've got to move in the name of the Lord. That you come from a generation and a group of people, and you are a part of the family of God. And I just want to speak this over you today. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. That with God, with men, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That you are stepped into a place that there may be a lack in this world, but there is abundance in the kingdom of our God. And you may be disqualified by your past, but God has uniquely qualified you for your future. And you are no longer a part of that lineage. You are a part of a different lineage. And by the way, Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren, and he went into a grave, but not even the grave could hold him back. The grave was conquered, and you are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. That's the family that you come from, and God is looking for men and women who will be a display of his power, his grace, and his goodness, who will step out of hiding and just simply let God take their lives and move them into the plans and purposes of God for their life. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. First of all, we pray bold prayers to help us, that whatever fear, anxiety has talked us out of your voice, we pray today that those words would be taken captive, submitted in obedience to Jesus Christ, that your voice would simply be so powerful in our lives that our voice would simply become an echo of the voice of God. I pray over this church, Father. I pray over our pastors, over our leaders, over our dream team. I pray over every person that's a part of this church family. That they're not isolated. They're not alone. This isn't a lonely battle to build a church. Sometimes it feels like we're building at the gates of hell, but you gave us this promise, the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And I pray that you would embolden, empower the spirit of faith, a belief for greatness. God, we're not stepping into self-confidence. We're stepping into the vulnerability of God confidence. That it's your strength, it's your might, it's your power. Father, we see big things. We boldly declare increase in this room today. That because of men and women seeing God do marvelous and mighty things, influence is coming in Jesus' name. Move over this church. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give final prayer today. Maybe today, if you're here, you've never had a moment where you surrendered your life to Jesus. I'm talking about being a part of the family of God, being adopted into God's family, planted in his house. The greatest identity we could ever have is a son of God, daughter of God. And maybe today that's just simply not you. Maybe you feel isolated. Maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe even you feel like an outcast. Here's what I know, is that the spirit of adoption is sweeping through this place right now. That God is in this moment wanting to adopt you, bring you into his family, into his plans, into his purposes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to lead us in a prayer.
If that's you today and you just simply say, Jason, I want to be adopted. I want to surrender my life to God through Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And I just simply want you to raise your hand. Say, when you're praying, just know that I'm praying with you from my heart, believing in my heart, confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Come on, if this is your moment and you feel God leading you into this, this is a time for you to just step away from the past and move into the future that God has for you on the count of three. Come on, every head's bowed. I'm giving you just a private moment in a public place on the count of three. One, two, if that's you, three. Would you just simply raise your hand and say, today I just want to choose Jesus. I want to make a decision to follow Christ, to surrender my life and my heart to him. Thank you for the hands. You can put them down. Here's what we're going to do. Is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want every person in this room just to repeat this prayer with me. Listen, you may not be praying it for you, but I want you to pray it loud because you may be praying it for the person next to you. And today might be a day where they're receiving the highest calling anybody can receive, and that's to become a son of God and a daughter of God. So come on, let's pray this prayer. Just repeat it after me. Repeat it loud. Say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. I receive you now. Forgive me of my sins. Wash away my past. Make me whole. Make me a new person. I will follow your ways. I will walk in your paths. I receive you now as my leader and my Lord, and I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.